Well, we're off the beaten track today, and it's with Gareth Ayres, who's filling in for Kennedy Warne, who's away in the Seychelles. Hello, Gareth.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. What adventures have you been on this year?
Well, bike riding. I mean, it's becoming a really big thing. I mean, that's the greatest thing the last government ever did, in my view, is put in all these cycle trails all around the country. And we were going to go and ride the West Coast Cycle Trail, which is a wilderness trail on that starts at Greymouth and heads south. But with the weather down there this summer, I decided, well, it's not really a good idea. Let's not go down there. And you know how difficult it is to ride a bicycle with an umbrella up. So, we turned around and went up to the Twin Coast Cycle Trail in Northland.
Whereabouts does this begin?
It goes... It's very aptly named. It goes from Opu on one side and to Horeki, or Manunu Mission Station, on the other. The origin, way back when, was the Treaty of Waitangi was signed on one coast, and then 3 or 4 days later it was signed at Horeki on the other coast. And the mission station at Manunu still has the table that the treaty was signed on. One would think it would be, you know, one would think it'd be a big kauri table or something like that, something like your nana would have in her bedroom. It's not very big. Yeah, but, you know, lots of history up there.
What of the riding itself? How would you compare it to others you've done?
Well, it's a cycle trail, so it's not, I understand there's your executive producer's quite the rider. It's nothing like the Old Ghost Road, which is, full-on bike road. This is a bike trail for boomers, boom along up there, boomers. You can do it the lazy way or you can do it the difficult way, because the center point is Kaikohe, 300 meters above sea level. And that's the center point, and it's 48 kilometers one way and 43 the other. So you could either do it lazily and just get shuttled up to Kaikohe and ride downhill to Horeki, or ride downhill to Opua, or else you could ride it all in one direction if you feel to be a purist. We were lazy. Got a bike ride, got a shuttle ride to Kaikohe, because it's a whole new infrastructure up there of people shuttling riders backwards and forwards or to put-ins or take-outs, and all you have to do is say to somebody who runs a shuttle arrangement, I'm going to be off the trailer around about 3 o'clock, can you pick me up in Opua? And lo and behold, there they are. They've got, you know, there's the fully equipped bike trailers, air-conditioned buses, bottles of water, you know, and I mean, it's just a great system. So we put in at Kaikohe and rode down to day one. We rode to Opua, which is a wide graded track. There's no real difficulty and there's no big hills. And it's got a great rhythm. You just ride past the old airfield at Kaikohe. Did you know the Americans they built an airfield up there in the Second World War, and you ride along that and then dip down through some nice forest across some, and then you end up on a timber trail, a rail trail type situation. And then arrive in Kawakawa, which has got lots of groovy little eats now, and there's a whole different vibe to Kawakawa with the bike trail being there. You go through town and there's, you know, lycra-haired people drinking cappuccinos, you know, it's great. And then out onto out to the coast at Opua through a mangrove forest. And, you know, this was on Friday or Saturday, and we got picked up by a fabulous person, Megan from Twin Coast Adventures, who came along, picked us up exactly on time and tucked us in the back, and we travelled back to Horeki, where we were domiciled at the Horeki Hotel, which originated, I think it's New Zealand's oldest surviving hotel, 1833. And that's right on the water on the Hokianga side. And the following day, we trailered up to Kaikohe again and rode west. And there's a 16-kilometer rail trail, which used to be an old logging rail, which, so you can imagine the gradient, is not difficult. And then at the small town of Okaihau, there is a Kiwi Kai kitchen run by Big Murray, who's a big shout out to Murray. He's put in coffee and goodies and everything the cyclist will need to prepare themselves for the great downhill that leads down through the Otakura stream down to Horiki, which is, and so, and they're all about, depending on what you're riding and how skilled you are, you know, they're 4-hour rides. So it's great.
It's a part of the country that's steeped in history. And is there an opportunity? I think you've alluded to, you know, the Horiki Hotel, but is there an opportunity to sort of do a bit of a diversion and see some other historical sites?
There, on the trail itself, you're quite occupied because there's some, on the Horiki side, there's some absolutely brilliant downhilling. I mean, you know, and that's the reason why you ride in that direction. Why ride uphill when you can ride down? But close to Horiki is the Manunu Mission Station, and you know there's a lot of Wairua there. You know, you really feel as though there's something about that upper tidal estuary thing that's it feels as though things haven't changed all that much.
So 87 k's and about 4 days, did you say?
2 days.
2 days. I beg your pardon, and not, yes, and nothing that was too strenuous. Most riders would be able to do it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if you are feeling as though you are slightly daunted, do the Kaikoe to Opua road trail first, and just get yourself bedded in. If you can do that, that's fine. You might want to dismount on the other side if you're not that great a rider. There is a 2.3-kilometre downhill, which is quite steep, and then it just flows into a stream, streams being what they are. They flow downhill into the harbour, and the bike trail goes right alongside it, and it's just a perfect gradient for riding single track through some beautiful country. One of the farmers up there, Snow Harrison, and his wife, Robin, have opened their farm to bike trailers. And the trail goes right through their farm, and there is a lovely spot to pull up alongside the Otakura stream. And I think they're putting in a little backpackers-type bike packers place in there, and there's old, you know, agricultural parts and think bits of history, and they're the most welcoming people. And, you know, it's just changed the landscape of Northland, essentially.
Now, it is that time of year where the weather throws anything and everything at New Zealand. And have you been turning your minds to how to plan your great Kiwi summer?
Yes. Well, it's a bit of a pet thing with me. I've, you know, throughout my whole career, weather watching has been omni for me. And we are blessed in New Zealand with so much information. I mean, let's face it, we're just a small, you know, in the South Island, we're a small mountain range stuck in the middle of an ocean. You're going to expect to have trouble. And there is a phenomenon that I've got to get there and get that selfie, or I've got to go and see Auntie Joan, or I've got to go and do the Milford Track. And for goodness sake, everybody, please look at the weather. I mean, we're, you know, our best, we've got Dan on TV1, we've got the fabulous weather reports on RNZ, we've got Met View, for those listeners who don't know it, Met View is Victoria University Wellington, and that's a great website, metview.com, and that can give you a really good 10-day forecast. Listen, I mean, you don't have to go out into a cyclone, just delay, go somewhere else, watch Netflix, don't go out into a storm, for goodness sake.
It is also, I don't know if you have any wisdom about, there does seem to be a pattern sometimes to pre-Christmas, post-Christmas with the old rainstorm coming, but
is that
just a short memory operating?
It happened perfectly last year, and it was quite interesting. If one watched the TV, it would have been maybe a week before Christmas. We had a cataclysmic event last year, and I recall watching on TV news that there was a lady in, I think it was Waihi, and she was standing up to her ankles in water, and her tent was floating, and I think there was a little duck in there, and an inflatable mattress was floating around, and she said, "We come every year, and I wouldn't miss it anyway."
Well,
why would you do that?
Because you just do. Yeah. My advice would be, if it is raining, as long as you, if you get out on some of the tracks, and as long as you've checked that you're not going to have flooded, you know, water holes and stuff, just wear your shorts and the windbreaker and just give in, get wet, forget the umbrella, cap on your head, tiny little shorts, as tiny as you're allowed to get away with, and just get wet. The worst thing to do is to have all those clothes on and then they all get wet. Again, it's temperature related, obviously. It depends on where you are. But sometimes you can get out there and get in it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, let's face it, the Milford Track isn't the Milford Track without a jolly good storm. And
you probably want to have some extra layers if you're in the Milford.
and the nice leggings to stop the I know it's a great fashion statement, wearing your underpants underneath your shorts, but it does keep the little sand flies away as well.
I guess it's the shorts. It's those short trips when the temperature's mild. We can give up too soon and get the cards out, or get the worst still, get the laptop out and start doing stuff.
Yeah, well, again, we're also blessed with, you know, great shops these days where you can go and get anything and look quite fashionable. You don't have to go out there in a big woolly jumper and an old raggy parka. You know, it's great. I mean, it's a fashion thing now, isn't it?
You know? Timely advice, though. Always, as you say, check the Met Service. Check the advice about where you're going. Never underestimate our weather. But above all else, have a marvellous holiday, which is not too far away for many people, and I hope there's one coming for you. Thank you very much, Gareth Ayres.